During Lent, we're thinking about the various ways we've experienced Jesus in our lives. Today, we're thinking about the prophetic Jesus. And next Sunday, we'll be thinking about the healing Jesus. One of the most prophetic and controversial acts of Jesus was to cleanse the temple in Jerusalem of greed and dishonesty and return it to a place of prayer for all people. That story is told in all four Gospels. I'll be reading the stories as told in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. Then they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house should be called a house of prayer for all the nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. "Is it not written, 'My house should be called a house of prayer for all the nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." Let us pray. O Lord, help us to become masters of ourselves, that we might be the servants of others. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. I once read that Jesus came into the world to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Think about that. Jesus did come into the world to comfort the afflicted, to comfort people when they're suffering. We're so grateful that Christ is living a presence around us now whenever we're in need or love, suffering in any way. In his own time, when people were sick, Jesus comforted them with healing and loving power. When people were hungry, Jesus comforted them by multiplying the loaves and fishes and feeding multitudes. When people felt excluded, Jesus comforted them by inviting them in to his inner circle. Jesus came among us first to comfort the afflicted. This congregation seeks to continue to carry on that ministry of comforting those who are afflicted. You'll notice in the bulletin this morning, there have been 8 families in our congregation who have lost loved ones in this past week. We have conducted 4 funeral services here over the last 3 days. You know the pain that people go through when they lose a loved one, like a part of themselves is gone. And their anguish and pain is so deep. And the church has been here offering Christ's ministry of comfort as we conducted services to thank God for their lives of their loved ones and to thank God for their eternal life and then to surrender them into the loving hands of God. Minette and I have experienced the comfort of Christ through your prayers and support as we've walked through this journey of her illness towards health. Christ comes to comfort the afflicted, and we've all experienced that. But Christ also comes to afflict the comfortable. Because sometimes when we get too comfortable, we can ignore and neglect the needs of others. We can just focus on our own lives and our own issues and forget about injustice for other people or pain that other people are going through. That's what it means to think about the prophetic Jesus, the one who makes us uncomfortable at times. The most prophetic action Jesus performed was the cleansing of the temple in Jerusalem of greed and corruption. Now here's the setting. Jesus and his disciples came to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. It's one of the major Jewish high holy days. Jesus and his followers were good Jews. They came to Jerusalem for the festival. And when they got there, they discovered a practice taking place in the temple that was very disturbing. Now, to understand this, you need to understand kind of the layout of the temple. The temple is on a mountain, like a butte, at the center of Jerusalem. And it's got a wall all around it. A couple of acres are inside that wall. And it's a rectangular form. We saw what's left of that wall when we were in Jerusalem last spring. They've uncovered what's left of the western wall of the temple. And, you know, it's the one with the great big stones, and people put prayers in between the stones. That's all that's left of the temple that was there, standing there, when Jesus lived. And it was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans during a revolution. But that outside wall was very large and encompassed a large area. And inside it was an open courtyard. And that was called the courtyard of the Gentiles. The Gentiles, non-Jews, were welcome to come to the temple to pray in that courtyard. That was their place of worship. They were open to everyone. And then inside that, there's the temple itself. And in you go in the temple itself, and the first court there is the court of the women, and that's where Jewish women went to pray. Inside that, the court of the Israelites, where Jewish men went to pray. And inside of that, the court of the priests, where only priests went to pray. Now, the event that we're talking about here took place in the courtyard of the Gentiles, outside the temple itself. And over time, that courtyard had no longer been a place of prayer. It had become a place, a marketplace, a place of commerce. When you went to the temple for the high holy days, you had to make an offering. You had to pay a fee to go into the temple to pray. And that fee had to be paid in Jewish shekels, Jewish money. Now, thousands of people came from other nations, and they would have Roman coins or Greek coins or Egyptian coins, and they'd have to change them into Jewish shekels to make their offering in the temple. Now, the problem was this. They were charged exorbitant fees for the money exchange. It would be as if they were being asked to give $10 to pay the fee, but then to pay another $10 or $20 or $30 to change their coins into shekels. Another problem was that when they came to the temple, they were supposed to bring a live offering, a sacrifice, and usually it would be a lamb or a dove. But it had to be an unblemished lamb or an unblemished dove. And when they'd bring their own lamb or dove, the temple investigators would always find something wrong with their offering. It wasn't a perfect lamb or it wasn't a perfect dove. And so they'd have to buy them at exorbitant prices from the sellers of lambs and doves in the temple square, in the court of the Gentiles. My image is that Jesus and disciples came in and he looked at this system. And he saw all the haggling and quarreling over the price, the exorbitant prices that were being charged by the temple priests and their businessmen for all of these things that people had to pay just because they wanted to go into the church, in the temple to pray. And it upset Jesus. And that's why he did this most dramatic of all acts. He goes into this courtyard where they're changing money at exorbitant rates and selling doves and lambs at exorbitant rates, and he overturns the tables of the money changers. And he drives out those who are selling the lambs and the doves. If you look at this picture here, it's a classical painting of that scene. Jesus is kind of in the middle on the left. You can see he's driving these people out of the temple. There's a money changers on the right whose tables are turned over. There's lambs, and there's also a red heifer in the middle. Now, that's an unusual thing, because in the book of Numbers it says once each year someone should bring a red heifer, an unblemished red heifer, to the temple to sacrifice to forgive the sins of the whole nation. But you see what Jesus had done is he is driving them out. And then he says, he quotes from Isaiah and Jeremiah, and he says, "Don't you know, as it's written, my house should be called a house of prayer for all people." All the nations, everyone's welcome to come to this house of prayer. This is the court of the Gentiles. And yet you have turned it into a den of thieves or a den of robbers. You see, what made him angry, what made him upset, was that someone was taking advantage of other people. To be a prophet is to be someone who is willing to take a risk themselves, to risk their own lives in some way, to stand up for justice and mercy and compassion for others who are being harmed in some way. You can understand why the chief priests and the leaders of the temple got upset with Jesus. I mean, it affected them economically. And why it says in the scriptures, then they made plans to kill him. You understand why he was killed? This is in large part one of the reasons, because of this prophetic act of risking himself to stand up for justice for others. That's what a prophet does. And the prophetic Jesus is always among us, making us uncomfortable and causing us to evaluate, am I willing to take a risk of myself, my time, my energy, my life, to stand up for justice and fairness and compassion for others? So last week I spent some time thinking about who has done that. And some names came to mind. I thought of President Abraham Lincoln. Think about how he risked his life and ultimately gave his life to rid this nation of the slavery of African Americans, that abusive practice. I thought of Martin Luther King, who risked his life and ultimately gave his life to rid our nation of the legal laws of segregation and to help build a nation where we're judged not by the color of our skin but by the content of our character. I thought of Nelson Mandela, who spent 26 years in a South African prison because of his opposition to apartheid, which was just another form of segregation and putting people into classes because of the color of their skin. I thought of Mother Teresa, who devoted her life daily to calling our attention to the plight of the poor, the starving, the dying in Calcutta and around the world, when we just kind of ignored it for years. And she gave her life to make us aware of it. I thought of Greg Mortensen, who was here last fall, who is literally risking his life. Every time he goes to Afghanistan and Pakistan, his life is at risk. There are people out to kill him because he is building schools for poor families so they can educate their daughters and sons. I mean, you can think of others. But the key is the prophetic Jesus is always calling us to take a risk, to risk something, our time, our energy, our effort, not on our behalf, but on behalf of someone else who is being treated unjustly or unfairly in some way. My Wednesday morning book study group is studying the book by Martin Thielen entitled, What's the Least I Have to Believe to Still Be a Christian? It's kind of an interesting title about getting down to what really matters most. This last week when we were reading his book, he tells this story about something that happened, a true story, some time ago in Pennsylvania. It was a suburban neighborhood. By and large, most people who lived there were Christian. And at Christmas time, in that neighborhood, like in our neighborhoods, people put up Christmas decorations. They had lights all around their houses. They would decorate their trees. They would put manger scenes or Christmas symbols on the lawn. They were getting ready to celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, there was one family in that neighborhood who were Jewish. And Jewish people often celebrate Hanukkah about the time we celebrate Christmas. And the Hanukkah celebration involves a menorah like this, where they light a different candle every week. Hanukkah is about the festival of lights, when you thank God for the light God has sent into the darkness of the world. And so in the Jewish tradition, they light a different candle every day for a week. Well, this Jewish family was honoring that, and so they had a big menorah in the front window of their house, and they'd light a different candle every week. But then one day, early in the morning, about 5 o'clock, they said, the Jewish family heard a big crash. They went downstairs and found their window in their house broken and the menorah destroyed. Someone had attacked them because of their faith. You can imagine the pain that they must have felt. It reminded them of the stories they had heard from their relatives, because both their grandparents had had that experience where homes were broken into in Germany and Jews were taken out, and they had lost their grandparents in the Holocaust. All those memories came back of the hatred people have expressed towards Jews. It all came back on them. People in the neighborhood began to hear about what happened, and they would come by all day long to express their sympathy. They were so sorry. This terrible thing had happened to their Jewish neighbors. That afternoon, the Jewish family went out to visit some relatives to get comfort and strength in the time of discrimination and persecution for their faith. When they came back that night, they were shocked at what they saw. As they drove through that neighborhood, they noticed that in practically every home, the Christian families had put a large Jewish menorah. In their own windows, with candles lighted, to symbolize that they stood with their Jewish friends in that time of persecution and suffering. Now that's a prophetic act. You see, those who put a menorah in their window could have their window broken too. They could be attacked as well. But they chose to take that risk, to stand with somebody else who has suffered because of their faith. Would you have done that if that was in your neighborhood? You see, I think that's the way Christ calls us to be prophetic. Makes us uncomfortable when we are people who neglect or ignore the needs of others. I thank God for those who are prophetic, those who stand with African Americans in our midst who still experience levels of discrimination. Those who stand with the legal immigrants in our country and in our state who have been here for years and are still experience levels of discrimination. And those who welcome gay and lesbian people into their neighborhoods, into their businesses, into their congregations. And those who have dialogue and build relationships with people of all faiths, Jews, Christians, Muslims, Hindu, Buddhists, Sikhs. You see, there's some risk involved in doing that. But when we do that, we are following the prophetic Christ, the one who risked himself and gave himself to see that all children of God are loved and respected and receive God's amazing grace. In a few moments, we'll have communion. And when we receive the communion, some of us need the pastoral Christ. Some of us have had a difficult time this last week, or we've lost a loved one, we've lost a job, we've got ill health, we've got challenges in our life. We need to know that Christ comes to us as a healer, as a pastor, as one who cares for us. And some of us come very comfortable, don't have any major problems in our lives. So Christ may need to come to prick our conscience, to say, how might we take a risk in some way for God and for others? So when you receive the elements, receive them as Christ coming to you to meet your need today. And remember, Christ came into the world to comfort us when we're afflicted and to afflict us when we're too comfortable. Let us pray. Our loving God, we bow in this moment to thank you for the living Christ in this room. And we pray that as we receive these elements, Christ would come to us and comfort us in our sufferings and challenge us when we're too comfortable. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.